This is Nature Notes, a Maine Naturalist Afield. I'm Logan Parker, an ecologist and naturalist with Maine Natural History Observatory. There is something special about those first few weeks of spring. After months of relatively suspended animation, locked in ice and buried beneath the snow, the landscape again takes a lively form. Every day another bird species returns, or else passes on further north. At first light, the pine warblers sing from the highest boughs, while winter wrens scold from the understory. By midday, it's the clumsy tapping of sapsuckers that permeates through the maples, beeches, and birches. Evening is reserved for the twittering sky dances of American woodcock along the wood's margin. There's another sound, however, which dominates this season within a season in our house clearing. A steady hum when heard from within the house. It is a persistent rush, sometimes a roar, when standing on the doorstep. Brown Brook is free to charge its way past our home, situated between two beaver flowages, before it joins the Sheepscot on its journey to the sea. This brook played a large role in our choosing the location of our home site. I've been drawn to the edge of this narrow waterway on more occasions than I can count over the years, whether it's to follow its way as it winds down the valley or else to examine its activities and its inhabitants. Early spring, in the weeks following the primary snowmelt, is the most dramatic period for the brook. While the woods are still mostly bare, festooned only in the dull and tattered trappings of last year's growth, the willow mosses and stippleback lichens within the stream seem to radiate a verdant green glow from within the rushing waters. This period, between ice out and leaf out, is the golden hour for these aquatic photosynthesizers. Throughout much of the year, the brook can be crossed with a bound, or else by carefully picking a path over the slippery rounded stones. During these weeks, however, the brook can swell in size such that any fording will require a stout leg trudge through ice-cold water. I've seen many sections of the brook expand its surface area to encompass more than 15 feet when heavy rains mix with melting snow and ice. These events sometimes carry red-bellied dace and other small fish over the beaver dam from the impounded pond uphill. As the water levels drop, these minnows sometimes become stranded in the brook's deeper pools. Insects are among the most commonly encountered life forms within the brook. As soon as the ice is out, water striders take to the water's surface, patrolling calmer sections for food on their densely haired, water-repellent feet. Below the surface, diving beetles paddle over the stream bed of stones and pale leaf litter. Caddis fly larvae can often be found creeping along the substrate, largely concealed within their mobile homes cobbled together from gravel, sand, and bits of plant material. Overturning a stone will sometimes reveal the grub-like forms of caddis flies. I'm still astonished that something so delicate starts its life in such a plump, fleshy shape. Overturning stones is also a great means of getting acquainted with the brook's resident salamanders. Northern two-line salamanders are among the most common, though you don't see them for long. Slender and energetic, they will dart for cover immediately upon discovery, using their paddle-like tails to propel themselves through the water. By contrast, the brook's other resident salamander, the northern dusky salamander, has a flat appearance and is generally slow-moving when discovered. After passing the winter, presumably buried within the gravel, these salamanders take shelter beneath the widest, flattest stones. Frogs are also regulars within Brown Brook, the green frogs being the most commonly encountered species. They are often found perched atop a damp bank or else submerged in the shallows in the wider sections of the brook. I once found an exanthic green frog hopping along the stream bed. A genetic mutation had rendered this green frog's skin bright blue, the result of altered xanthophores and carotenoid vesicles that inhibited the production of yellow pigments in the frog's skin. As the spring wears on, the rush of the brook is lulled into a less hasty, babbling flow. Delicate wildflowers bloom and ferns unfurl along its edges as the calm sets in and birdsong becomes the prevailing soundscape in the surrounding woodlands. And while its murmurings can still be heard from the doorstep, its spring vigor has passed, carried off down into the valley until the cycle begins anew.
That was Nature Notes, a Maine Naturalist Afield from the Maine Natural History Observatory. This program was produced by Glenn Middlehauser. The theme music is Keeper of the Light by Hallie Pottle Parker, performed by Hallie Pottle Parker and Kate Pottle. For more information, you can go to mainenaturalhistory.org. You can find more episodes of Nature Notes on the WERU archive or wherever you get podcasts.